Great. Today is Success Saturday, the third day. It's kind of part of the butterfly series, which was, you know, we're in lockdown, coming out of lockdown, going back into, who knows, but things are changing. But people use that analogy of the butterfly because you're a caterpillar, you go into a cocoon, you come out a butterfly. And so many people use this downtime to take classes, to study, to work out differently. Other people did it as a time to overeat, be lazy, and do nothing, but we all made different choices. But that's neither here nor there. But when I've been, a lot of motivational speakers and trainers use the butterfly analogy, but not all really stress for the fact that there's three or four things you got to consider with the butterfly analogy. Number one is you totally lock yourself off. That's fine. But you have to, that caterpillar totally reinvents itself from the DNA up. You know, if you cut it open halfway through, it's just a gelatinous mass, I guess they say, right? It is not, you know, it has to totally reinvent itself, right? It melts down and reforms. So it's not a slight change. And when it comes out, it's totally different. And who knows, it may be a painful process. We don't know. We're not caterpillars going into butterflies. It may not be painful. It may be painful. But the other thing I always stress, and a couple other people, is when that caterpillar now morphs into the butterfly, when it first comes out, it's totally vulnerable and you can't speed up this process. It takes a while for its wings to dry, whether it's a caterpillar or whether it's a butterfly or a moth. And then the most important thing, once it's ready and it flies away, it is totally done with the caterpillar lifestyle. It doesn't go back and hang out with caterpillars. It doesn't drop in to see Joe, check out the old things. It is different. It can't eat caterpillar food. It can't do caterpillar things. It has to be a butterfly. And I think that's a good analogy for when people say they really want to reinvent themselves, except I'm going to hang on to all my thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, and actions. Other than that, I want a totally different life. Other than that, it's going to be a grand slam. So anyway, we've been talking about that, and some people asked me to talk about this process of success, if you will, right? And I always start with, what have I learned about success in the last week or two since I've been doing this? How can I apply this new information? We'll go over what we did last week in a moment. What is my block, you know, and what is my coping mechanism? Is my coping mechanism one of the things holding me back from making this change? What can I learn new today? Today we're going to do something different. And how can I grow today? Right? And of course, my contact info, NFNLP is a website, Dr. Will Horton's a website. I really push my AA Solved, that stands for alladictionsolved.com. And, you know, it's got alcohol, drugs. I'm working on the social media addiction, which is funny, social media addiction on social media, and eventually pornography. And let's have some fun with this. Now, last week, we talked about beliefs about success and money that block you. These are just some of them, but these are, you know, from, like my dear friend Joe Vitale says, I've heard Tony Robbins talk about it, goes back to Jim Rohn, and goes back to, what's his name? You need to check up from the neck up guy, Zig Ziglar, right? But these are some of the beliefs, attitudes, values that kind of, they're like meta programs that for us NLPers, that if they get in there, it's going to really steer you, right? One, it's selfish to want a lot of money or success. Why would you want that much money, right? It's selfish. It's just selfish. And you see it manifest, a review for last week. How does it manifest itself? If you or someone you know have ever said, no one's worth that kind of money. When you see an athlete sign a $100 million contract or an actor, you find out he got like $47 million for a movie, you know, or 60, what was it? Iron Man got for the one, $67 million, right? Somebody goes, nobody's worth that kind of money. That lets you know, is it selfish? I don't know how he structured his contract. I mean, you know, but anyway, that's, if you say that or if you believe it, what does that say about your own success? It's limited, right? Success or money is not that important. There are more important things. And we can, that, you know, when you look at these, you have to ask, are these true? are these kind of beliefs and attitudes true, and are they used, and are they totally true or partially true? This one, it's not that important. It's partially true. You need health, but you could argue if you're successful in your money and your career, it's probably easier to get better health care in America anyway. So it's not that important, but it's important, right? So you got to look at it. But is it useful, right? And again, some of these, they become default to excuse you not being successful. More success, like money or fame, whatever it is more problems. You know, if you get a lot of money, it just equals more problems. If you get a lot of fame, it equals more problems. Again, is it true? There's some levels of truth to that. If you have a lot of money, you got to manage it, right? But you can hire people to manage it or whatever. Same with fame, right? But many people, when they say, you know, money's nothing but a problem, but they also, if they have problems, they also know money can solve a lot of your problems, you know? It's not spiritual to have success, fame, or money, right? It's like spiritual snobbery if you have that attitude. You know, I'm more spiritual than you because I'm poor, you know? So that could be one, you know, and that could also go for fame or it's not just success or fame, whatever it happens to be, you know, I don't deserve good things. That's a big underlying one. We spent a whole, that was like the first thing we talked about, not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy, not feeling deserving, right? Money doesn't grow on trees, you know, that's an interesting one. Which the underlying thing is you got to work. What does that mean? Well, is it okay to get unearned income? Is it okay to have money come to you in unexpected ways? This one really comes out of the depression, and it's a scarcity mindset, that there's a scarcity of it. And right now, flowing in the American economy, God knows how many trillions of dollars, and they're printing more all the time, right? One belief a lot of people have is it takes money or connections to make it. Again, is this true? Well, if you have money and connections, it might, but how many times we see rich people with connections go broke? You know, or also when Steve Jobs didn't have a lot of connections when he was getting started, he didn't have money. He built, you know, same with Bill Gates and what's it, Paul Allen. So, and again, this is a great one. This will stop you from even trying. I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the connections, right? You know, and your block in beliefs revealed in these, in the feelings about these things, your blocks is revealed in how you feel about these basic things. And, you know, some may resonate with you, some may not. But anyway, it's something to think about. So general rules. What we're talking about now, we're going to talk about, that was like beliefs about that hold you back. What about rules for success, rules for prosperity? Well, what we're going to talk about today is mostly beliefs and attitudes and outlook. You know, it's kind of like we talked about those beliefs that hold you back or meta programs that set you back. Let's talk about the meta programs for success and the trap that people fall into. And you see it all the time, especially on like social media now. And that is like, you want to be rich, you got to live like you're poor. All, you know, really, really rich people live like they're poor. I was just talking to somebody about this. I go, really? Have you been by the richest area in your town? Do these people hide their wealth? You know, when I used to live in, I had an apartment in Deerfield Beach, right? Right by some of the most, well, the most expensive house in America was there for a while. And you drive down that street, A1A, called, like in a lot of areas, called the Millionaire Mile. You saw Bentleys, you saw Rolls Royces. There was the bay was on this side, the ocean was on this side. And there were multi-million-dollar yachts that rarely moved. Right? So who would put up an idea that you got to be rich, you got to live like you're poor, save all your money, right? Well, people that have a problem with wealth. Also, maybe... you know, money managers. So you save this money so they can get a hold of it, right? And you hear all this about all kinds of things. You know, millionaires, billionaires always get up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning in the quiet time and do this. I hear that one a lot. I'm like, really? Really? Would you consider Tony Robbins successful? He is not up at 5 a.m. unless he hasn't went to bed yet, right? Richard Branson, what's his name? Elon Musk. These are night people, right? But again, usually people that have this thing, I want to get up early, so I'm going to say that this is a belief. So don't fall into the trap of just because it works for someone means it's going to work for everyone. And those are more how-tos. These are general attitudes and beliefs. It's kind of meta-programs. Rule number one, success, and I'll throw money in there because money can be a measure of success. Maybe not, but maybe, right? But it loves appreciation. It seems to go where it's appreciated. You know, it goes to where it's celebrated, right? It goes to where it's honored. You know, you honor it, you appreciate you, and it's you, and you use it, right? You use it, you know? So this is the first rule. It loves appreciation, it likes to be appreciated. It likes to be respected, it likes to be honored. It likes to be used, right? Can you do these things, right? Basically, is you don't take it for granted, right? That's rule number one. It's pretty simple. It's just an attitude, an outlook, a belief, but it seems to be true. Rule number two, money and success loves attention, right? Yeah, what if you had a more loving and grateful relationship with, whether you want to call it money or whatever your marker of success is, right? A lot of people have a love-hate relationship with it, right? But it likes attention because if you put your attention on it, then your energy flows. Because as we all know, where your attention goes, your energy flows, right? And so if your intention is to be more successful, to have more money, to have a great physical body, to have a good relationship, well, that's your intention. Do you put your attention on your intention? I always have to do my vocal warm-ups before I try to say this fast, right? And again, because you could have a great intention, but if you don't put any attention on it, you're not putting any energy into it. And attention creates action or movement. Intention is a thought. I intend to do this, but my attention, I'll put my attention on it. I'm going to take some steps to do it. So you need to give more conscious attention to whatever it is you want, whatever this success is, money or business success or your relationship or your physical body, whatever it is that you're working on. Rule number three, and I'm putting asterisks on this because rule three and six kind of go together. Success and money, whether it's money, fame, health, whatever it is, seeks its own level, right? And it gives it energy, so it's putting it out and it wants more of that energy back. You know, if you rarely see the super fit, healthy, vibrant person wanting to spend a lot of time with a whole bunch of people that are the opposite, you know? But it seems to seek its own level. Rule number four, success, money, fame, health, whatever you're going for, but success loves respect because respect draws more energy to it. You respect it. And what this really means, I forgot to put this line up there, is you respect it in other people, right? You respect their success. Even if you may not agree with it, you can respect it. You know, it's like, I respect their work. I respect what they've accomplished, right? Again, because if you think, oh, well, they're just liars, cheaters, and thieves, well, if there's no respect there, what's that telling your subconscious mind about your success, whether it's health, wealth, whatever it is you want, right? And people who over downplay it don't respect it. You know, I should have put the line up. Can you take a compliment? Can, you know, if you have success, can you take a compliment? That was a great job. Oh, it's nothing. Really? Really? Can you just say thank you and move on? Right? I remember here's a theater story. Heard an actor speak one time and after a performance, a play performance, and they got the audience, you know, was there. And so people were talking. And this one person, the big name star, big name actor, when people would say, what a great performance, he would just say, thank you. I worked hard. Thank you. I worked hard. And some of the people would ask, oh, it's nothing. Well, supposedly he did a meeting with the cast and said, you know what? We worked hard on this show. We've put sweat and love and effort into this show. Don't say it's nothing. The audience doesn't understand what we do. They're just surprised we can remember the lines, not bump into the furniture, right? So don't say it's nothing. Just say thank you, and even say it was hard work, but it was worth it. That's respecting it, right? But if you start downplaying it, that goes back to maybe you don't feel worthy. You feel worthy of the people appreciating your work, whether you're acting, singing, dancing, speaking, writing, hypnosis, and whatever it is that you do, right? And this is why I think about respect. This is why, like lotto winners, sports, athletes, performers, people that get quick wealth, it goes away. They don't respect it. You know, there's a guy did that study on lotto winners and why some lotto winners could win multi-millions of dollars after taxes and be totally bankrupt in a couple of years. And other people win maybe $1.5 million or $2 million. And you go back and in 3 or 4 years, they've tripled their money, you know? And what I think it was a guy in Pennsylvania, he said one of the underlying things were the people that like had a tendency to double or triple their money owned small businesses. They weren't like, you know, coming from where I come from, I don't mean this badly. They weren't like factory workers or, you know, so they had more respect for it. And that's one thing the guy kind of said is they, right when they won the money, they respected it. Same with the athletes that make it and keep it, you know? Because again, we see it too often. People make, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in sports or performance and they end up bankrupt, right? Do they respect it? Rule number 5, success could be money, all that. It loves a mission, a purpose, because mission, purpose, passion attracts people, places, and things that have the same or a coinciding mission or purpose or passion, right? So if you have a mission, a purpose, what is it you want? And that ties into why you want this success, whether it's money or fame, you know, it or wealth, whatever it is that you want, health, it's going to attract others. And rule number 6 kind of goes with rule number 3. Let's go back to rule number 3, which was it seeks its own level, right? Which makes sense, right? Just in general. But now when you get to rule number 6, the law of association, I always say, you may not rise to the level of your dreams, but you will always fall to the level of your associates. And, you know, when you're, because you know, the people you hang out with the most represent your subconscious mind, right? And again, you will seek them out, they'll seek you out, right? I know I tell the story, it's a Tony Robbins story, you know, my dear friend Tony Robbins, but he was given a motivational talk at a Marine Corps base and for the Marines. But anyway, supposedly the commanding general said he always wondered why he would see these young Marines, you know, 18 to 26, first enlistment, just got commissioned. Were great. They were, well, if you're a Marine, you work out every day, you're in shape, you don't carry a certain standard, they kick you out pretty quick, right? He goes, so they're 4-0 Marines, they're squared away, right? And then they complete their first tour of duty and they get out. And then you run into them a couple years later and you're like, what happened to the guy that was the squared away Marine, right? Well, is it that people are inherently lazy? Is it this? They're probably a lot of that going on, but also while you're in, the people you're basically with almost every waking moment of your day are fellow Marines, right? You see it in Army Ranger units and SEAL teams and all this. It's like they're holding you to a higher standard. So you hold yourself to a higher standard. So if you get out of that group and you start hanging around with people that as soon as they get off work, they want to get to the bar and have a couple beers and some peanuts, and they never work out. They never do this, right? It's not going to work. So who are you hanging out with? You know, next week we're going to do a cool thing based on something I learned from one of my students, the buddy board, and it's kind of going to go with this, right? But this is why with this law of association, why you see fit people hang out with fit people, rich people hang out with rich people, right? And it's, you could say whatever you want. It's just that like a real, you're not going to, you know, what happens to those athletes that like sign a big contract and they never want, they go back to the old neighborhoods and it's almost like they're, I'm going to raise everybody around me up. Well, how often do we see the opposite? Those people tear you down. Coming from the world I come from, I always think of addictions where if you want to be sober, you got to hang out with sober people. End of story. You know, I've never once, and I will never back off this statement. I've never seen somebody, if they were alcoholic or drug addict, just put it down and hang around with the same people and do the same things. I've personally never seen it. Maybe it's happened in the world, but generally not, you know? So you want to hang around with the people that have what you want, and they, and you'll hold yourself accountable, you know? You know, I heard a really cool story, thinking about this because Dr. John's on the call from Southern California. And it was back when Arnold Schwarzenegger and those guys were doing when bodybuilding was exploding in the late 60s, early 70s. And right there in Venice Beach, California, they that became like the mecca for bodybuilders. And I think it was Frank Zane and Bill Pearl was talking about why are all these bodybuilders coming here? You can work out anywhere. And they talked about that even though they were all in competition with each other, they liked associating with each other. Because Arnold would talk about, he'd see the gains that like Mike Mincer was making, you know, and things like that. So who are your associates, right? So next week we're going to do a whole class, a little thing on this, right? And I know this is kind of hard to read, so I apologize, but you know, if you hang around with five confident people, you'll be the sixth. Hang around with five intelligent people, you'll be the sixth. If you hang around with five millionaires, you'll be the sixth millionaire. If you hang around with five idiots, you'll be the sixth idiot, right? And if you hang around with enough idiots, you'll be elected to Congress. I'm here till Thursday, tell your friends. Tough crowd. Anyway, so, you know, what is it you want, right? What is it you want? And so, you know, next week we're going to talk about, my buddy Albert's on there. You know, Albert Bramante, Dr. Bramante, he's got his doctorate in clinical psychology, but he's also an agent for actors. And, you know, they always talk about if you want to be a working actor, you need to go to where there's working actors and you need to hang out with working actors. It only makes sense, you know. I could tell a story. There was a lady by us. She got into acting a little bit later in life, probably her 30s, took it very seriously, was doing community theater. And community theater can be brilliant. There can be brilliant people in community theater. because down here in Florida, especially, I'll just tell a story. I was in a play. Every one of us on that stage had been a professional actor, right? But anyway, she started taking professional acting classes. She started taking professional theater classes. And she started getting work, right? And then you fast forward a couple of years, she got her equity card, which is like the big deal in theater. And she was she got in a road show. Anyway, I was around a group of people that mostly community theater, and her name came up. Somebody said this: who does she think she is? She thinks she's better than us. And a couple of people started agreeing. I just said, well, actually, she is. You know, she's doing it for a living, something all of you would dream of. I mean, do you want to work at Publix grocery store? Do you want to work at Walmart? Or would you rather be a professional actor? She did it, right? And she was smart enough not to come back and try to hang out with that group of people, right? So you want to work with the people that you know, and we're going to talk about a way to do it that might surprise you next week, right? But so when you look at these rules, and I'll post this up on in the Butterfly Experiment group, and I'll post the PowerPoint. So when you look at all these rules, you know, loves appreciation, goes to where it's appreciated. Loves attention, right? Because attention focuses your intention. Your intention focuses your attention, right? It seeks its own level. It loves respect. It wants to be respected, and that adds energy and focus. It loves a mission and a purpose. Do you have a mission and a purpose, right? And the law of association we just talked about. So when you look at these rules, do some of these seem easy to you? Do they make sense to you, right? When you just kind of bounce them off, which rules bring up resistance, right? Which rules bring up resistance? Same when I go back to and talk about when we did the beliefs that might be holding you back, you know, it's selfish, it's not important, it's more work than it's, more problems than it's worth, you don't deserve it, you have to have money to make money, right? So when you look at these, you want to look at which ones seem easy. Yeah, that makes sense, because that's probably okay with your core and you can follow through. And which ones bring up resistance? That's the ones we got to work on, right? You know, can you celebrate other people's massive success, right? Right? Or do you get to be like Woody Allen, where, you know, one of his running jokes was, I would never join a club that would allow a guy like me as a member, you know? So anyway, that's today's thing. We're just some general rules for success. These are meta programs. There's, we could do a lot more. These are just general ones. So next week, I'm excited. We're going to do a thing called the Buddy Board, and it'll talk about how to trick your mind into being more successful using some of the things we just talked about. So I'm going to, stay on. I'm just going to stop the recording. So until next week, the Buddy Board. But what rules are easy and make sense to you? What rules bring up resistance? And how can you implement these into your life?